Christ has risen from the dead. God the Father has crowned him with glory and honor. He has given him dominion over the works of his hands. He has put all things under his feet. But my normal opening to the message during the festival Easter season from here on out is sung in Handel's Messiah from the book of Revelation. You know this chorus. Hallelujah, our Lord God Almighty reigns. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. This past Lenten season and this past Holy Week and concluding, climaxing today, we've had a worship series titled At the Crossroads. And each Wednesday night and then last Sunday, Thursday, Friday, we've looked at people in the Bible in the crossroads. One more today, and to set the scene, another scene at that tomb on the first Easter, John chapter 20 records it. Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken my Lord away, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Indeed, crossroads. We've used this introduction almost 10 times this Lent so quickly. Crossroads. We move through the day, maybe easily, feeling some outward peace, but then it comes a crossroad. And there you stand, maybe frozen for a moment or two or longer. Which way to go? Right? Left? Perhaps straight? What awaits you down the road you choose? Which way does your heart tell you to go? What makes sense? And we've said the whole time, none of those is the most important question to answer. Which is God's way? What does God's word say to you? That's what you need. But even with the Bible guiding and gracing you, it's still not easy. We've seen how a crossroad can bring spiritual pain and also spiritual healing. How a crossroad can bring someone to destruction. How a crossroad can be all important in your life. How at the crossroads, you often find Christ's compassion. Or how at the crossroad, you must make a declaration about your heart. Last Sunday, we heard how at the crossroad, there is suffering that brings salvation. Thursday, we heard of the crossroad of forgiveness found at the Lord's table. Friday, his mother reminded us that Jesus provides a crossroad even through death. And today, in the same way, the same crossroad, but its result, life. A third woman with the same name we heard Thursday and Friday is before us today. And this one with a most dramatic story, if you know what the scriptures say about her. Luke 8, the gospel accounts of the women at the cross. Today's gospel added here from John 20 are all scripture references to this woman, but that's all there is. Some church traditions attribute to this woman all kinds of immoral character, but the Bible never mentions that. What is mentioned about her in the Bible is all we need to know about her. Indeed, three basic things each of us needs. You need to know about yourself: Satan's bondage in sin, the Savior's atoning work on the cross, and that Christ is risen indeed. Good morning. Please introduce yourself.
I'm Mary. You know, Mary from Magdala. Magdala up near the Sea of Galilee, or Gennesaret, or Tiberias, or whatever you call it now. I, Mary, the final Mary you'll hear this season. I, Mary, have the finale for you. Oh, Mary of Jerusalem told you about the heart of Jesus' work and forgiveness at the meal you'll share soon this morning. His mother on Friday told you that there was hope. Hope certain and sure, even in his death. That's my message too, of course. I now know that my Redeemer lives.
Now?
But I wish I had had Mary's faith at the cross. That horrible day, the Sabbath after, even the morning of the first day of the week. I had missed it. I had forgotten. I had forgotten simply his very words.
Now, is that unusual?
That's me, especially me, Mary. My life had always been a mess. Oh, I know that you have speculated and even invented all kinds of backstories for my life, none of it recorded by the holy writers. The details are not really that important. In fact, without them, you can put yourself in my place. My story is your story. Mine may be far worse. The physician did record that Satan, with seven demons, possessed me and controlled me. What a mess was my life. Sin I could not conquer. Pain I could not avoid. Terrors I could not handle. Isn't that your life too?
So what happened?
Jesus intervened. The young fisherman is so fond of quoting, he'll probably write it down someday. He came, Jesus reminds us, John reminds us, to destroy the works of the devil. And he did. Not just with me. Jesus cast demons from other women, from children, from foreigners, from multiple people at one time. And those miracles were not even the biggest defeat of the devil by Jesus.
Really?
When he healed me, I clung to him. I did not have the money other women had, but I gave Jesus my heart. Oh, that young fisherman was close to him, but so was I. I followed him from Galilee to Jerusalem more than once, to the coast and to the mountains, then back to Jerusalem one final time. It wasn't what I expected, but it should have been. I forgot his simple words. The Son of Man must go to Jerusalem and be rejected by the chief priests and teachers of the law and be killed. Maybe it was because he used again strangely that exact title, Son of Man, for himself, that I, did not hear, really hear, what he was predicting about how low he would fall. He even used the word crucified, but none of us heard, really heard, how easy it is to miss, to forget the cross.
I suppose that is true.
Oh, there's no escaping it. His mother told you that again last Friday, didn't she? There's no road to cross where the cross is not the road. Literally, it was my road with Jesus. We followed him, bruised and bloody, up the streets of Jerusalem to the skull. That's the name of the hill, Golgotha. We stood at a distance, chest pounding and pounded as he died.
But not the end.
No, but it took us time to see. Joseph provided his tomb. We had wondered when he and Nicodemus would publicly profess their allegiance to Jesus, and the cross was that moment. I, with Salome, you know, the mother of James and John, also Mary, yes, another Mary, the mother of his other disciple James, we sat and watched as the stone was placed. We hurried before sundown and the start of Sabbath to work at preparing the myrrh and spices to preserve his body. You know, I don't remember his mother joining us. We were so confused. We should not have been if we had remembered his words, in 3 days. He was so specific. I will rise. Day of preparation, day of rest, anytime after the end of Sabbath at sunset on, how have you named it after the pagan god Saturn's day? Anytime after the first day started at the last night's sunset, we should have expected.
But you didn't.
Coming to the tomb, we were still confused. Satan again. Even you who are close to Jesus can be distracted and distraught by the terrors and tribulations of this world. You know his word, but like me, forget it. I actually wandered from the other women that dawn. We saw the stone move, but I was so staggered that I did not hear the angel's message. When I did return to the tomb, everyone was gone. I sat outside, you've heard, crying. And close, Jesus came to me. I did not know it at first. Your Savior is always drawing close to you, whether you know it or not. He may sound like someone else's voice, but it is truly his word again in your ears, trying to reach your heart. Why are you crying? He asks you so often. Then he calls you by name.
Me? You?
Have you been baptized? That's where it happens for sure. Then every day, as you remember the water in his word, canceling, yes, even by his perfect life and perfect death in your place, your sinful confusion and distraction and even desertion, raising you again with the loving and personal call, Mary. And I grabbed him again.
Because he called you.
And you, your name, he is speaking it. He is raising you again this morning from the passing power of demons, from guilt before God you know you can't solve yourself, from wandering without direction, from confusion and fears, from death and damnation. And you shall never lose him. He promised me that I'd see him still for days and weeks before he would visibly leave. But he has never left. I am with you always was one of the final audible words he said directly to us. But his word truly still and again is always sounding in your ears. You do by faith truly see him. In the meal with him, we still share. Soon, won't it be today? And with your eyes, you shall soon see him in glory. Risen, risen indeed. Hallelujah. Praise him, the Lord of life.
Amen.